D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you. Expected to be joined by Willie Donick later in the program. Also expected to be joined by Jonathan Hutton shortly. But we're talking Cam Ward. We're talking what the Titans do with the number one pick in the NFL draft. Carl is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Carl, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Man, thanks, guys. Listen, I know we're supposed to analyze this as a sports talk show, but I think we're kind of overanalyzing this thing. Let's explain why. None of us thought that Trevor Lawrence was going to be as mediocre as he is, but here we are. This guy was the next great thing, and he's not that. Nobody thought that Tom Brady was going to turn out to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest football player of all time. And I remember what it was like when Drew Bledsoe got hurt. Everybody thought New England's season was over with and they were going to be fighting for the number one draft pick. No one thought that Tom Brady was going to come in and turn to Tom Brady. And if they say they did, they're lying to you. No one thought that a guy like, and believe it or not, Peyton Manning did have a father. His name was Archie, one of my favorite players of all time. When he was playing, nobody thought that he was going to be as bad because of the situation that he was set in. No one thought that the Saints was going to continue to be that bad. And it's all sometimes it's not the kid, it's not the player, it's the situation. If you're put in a situation where you have a garbage team, well, you're going to have a world-class talent like an Archie Manning that looked like a pedestrian quarterback because he didn't have talent around him. So I say draft the kid, get him in here, and never, ever forget that the Chicago Bears picked Mitchell Trubisky, you know, over Deshaun Watson. I mean, think about that for a minute, man. So you never know what these guys are going to turn into. And if anybody say that is a sure thing, they're lying.
They're just lying.
They don't. You just never know what's going to happen with these guys. So I say, if you're in the position to draft a quarterback, at number one, get the quarterback, and then get the offensive line around him to help the kid out.
Thank you for the call, Carl. And first of all, I just have to say, overanalyzing is what you learn how to do in Sports Talk 101 class. Overanalyzing is the bedrock.
You got to make an art of it.
Right. Overanalyzing is the bedrock of this profession. So
exactly.
Especially when you need to get to the NFL draft, which is more than a month away at this point, I believe, still. Oy, oy, oy. But I understand what Carl is saying. You never know. Mm-hmm. You never know. You know, I was talking about the feeling of having that number one overall pick and maybe there being some anxiety. David on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said Marcus Mariota gave us that feeling. I can't exactly recall what that was like because that's like right when I got to Nashville. But I mean, Carl makes a solid point that if the Titans believe in the guy, look, it's a mystery box. The situation plays a huge part of this. One texter texted in and said, we won three games and are the worst team in the NFL. Everyone said they don't trust the front office to make the pick. Why do we trust these coaches to coach a number one pick? Well, you would hope that the Titans have confidence in Brian Callahan and his staff to coach up a number one pick. If they didn't, they would have fired him. Mm-hmm. But they've built up the offensive line. That's where they've spent a lot of their money in free agency. On paper, this offensive line looks much improved, although the bar to clear was pretty low. But bringing in Dan Moore, shifting J.C. Latham, bringing in Kevin Zeitler, it looks like an offensive line that can protect a rookie quarterback. But again, it is a lottery, ultimately. The Titans were the worst team in the NFL. The draft isn't a lottery. In the NFL, it's not a lottery. In other leagues, it's a lottery. But what I mean is you have a ticket, and you hope that it cashes out and that you pick the player that will be the foundation of your franchise for a decade. But you may also pick a player who is gone sooner rather than later. You just have to hope, again, that the infrastructure of the organization, the people making the decisions, know what they're doing. And, I mean, Derek, how would you rate the new Titans front office so far? How would you evaluate the job they've done in a limited amount of time?
Listen, they went out and they have not, and again, you know, they've only been at the job for a couple of months here. But I think the lowering of the expectation, seems to be attention to detail, them going out in free agency and not just, you know, reaching for guys, even though I think there are one or two guys in there that I have a question mark on, one really, you know, but they addressed some needs that they had. And it's not just about addressing them. They addressed them. They did something different than the last two regimes did. And this is one of the knocks on, you know, Rand Carthon and John Robinson. They didn't go out and get injured guys. Borgonzi and his crew did not go out and get injured guys. Now, they may have overpaid for a few guys. Okay, I can live with that. But they didn't go out and get guys that had missed in the previous season, a whole season, or they're just coming back from an ACL, or they've missed 8 games in a season, something like that, prior to this season. No, they went out and they got durable guys, guys that you can depend on, guys that once you look to your left and your right, you know those guys, more times than not, are going to be there for you on Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. That's what they did. That's why, to me, I think this front office is headed in the right direction. Now, will they stay in that direction? I don't know. But at least they've addressed their holes by not just addressing them, but addressing them with guys that are dependable and durable and available. That's half the battle right there. So they did something that the other two regimes prior were not able to do. And it's easy. Don't go get injured players, especially not ones that have been injured prior to the year they're coming here. And that's what this front office up until now they've done. So I'm impressed with that.
Shoal is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shoal, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Okay. My thing is, like, when Shador was number one, when we were like number 4 or 3, because this Mel Kiper and his crazy analyst on national TV think that Shador was good for New York or New England or Raiders. That's what they wanted. Then they won some game. We lost. We became number one. And then they say, no, I don't think we're going to give this guy to Tennessee Titans because they don't like us. They have hidden us. So they're propping up, which he can be a good quarterback too. Cam Wood can be a good quarterback. But they cannot explain it to me, the, you know, recent decision that, oh, he is number one. What have he done? The game was over. The college was over. So what game did they watch that made them that he is number one for us? They just want us not to pick the good guy. And, you know, if I'm Tennessee Titans, I'm not listening to them because they've been wrong so many times. I'm going to pick Shador because I think he has a learning ability and he's patient and he knows his crap, and I will stick with him.
Thank you for the call, Shaw.
Thank you, Cho. I guess Cho wants Shador Sanders, and he made that evident.
If I heard that correctly, he thinks that there is a conspiracy with the NFL draft analysts trying to put Cam Ward in Tennessee because they don't want the Titans to have Shador Sanders. Did I get that right?
Would you sum it up that way, Nick?
Yeah, I kind of got that synopsis a little bit.
Kind of, sort of. Hey, listen, and I love a good conspiracy theory. I do. I really do. But I don't know if I'm vibing with that one.
There might be something to it, though. Because, Nick. I'm just saying agents like to push
stories.
Well,
agents,
you know.
I think agents try to strategically, you know, if they know they're not going to be the number one pick or if they want their guy to be a number one pick, agents, you know, they have been known to throw stories out there and see how much steam that story picks up. So I'm not going to go that far to say as those things don't happen, but I'm not going down a whole rabbit hole as you and Chola are doing right now, Nick. So, but listen, the fact remains is this, Adam, if you believe in what Mike Borgonzi and Brian Callahan, along with Brinkert, and I'm just putting Brinkert there, but it's the two main guys I want to concentrate on is Borgonzi and Callahan. If you believe that these two guys can have a relationship where, you know, there's not much delineation between how they see players, if that's what you believe and you believe that they can go out and get the job done, then you will trust what pick they choose to make, whether it's Cam or Shedeur Sanders, or they may go another route. Listen, again, what I've seen from this front office, Borgonzi, in the last month and a half, 2 months, I've liked. Now, listen, you can win the free agent, you know, battle. You can win the press conference battle. You can win the draft. But if you don't win during the season, it doesn't make no sense. It's all for nothing. So what he's doing now, I like it. And one reason I like it, and I discussed and I said that earlier, is because they went out and they got – available players, guys that can play, guys that are not hurt. So I think they're doing a good job. And whatever decision that they make, and we said this before when Willie was on last week, whatever decision that they make, I hope that all of them are resolute in that decision. If it's Cam Ward, then everyone needs to be resolute because this is not the 10th pick in the draft. This is not the 15th pick in the draft. This is not the 42nd pick in the draft. This is the first pick in the NFL draft, and that holds more weight than anything. So if y'all gonna pick Cam Ward, I hope everyone is on the same page in regards to handing that card in and making him a Tennessee Titan.
Dylan on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with a question a lot of Titans fans have. So if the Titans are drafting a quarterback, does this mean they are now tying the head coach to the quarterback? Or are they only going to give him 1 year and then get rid of him? I feel that would be bad for the quarterback as well, having two coaches in 2 years. I mean, we talked about this with Marcus Mariota. He had three coaches as a member of the Tennessee Titans: Ken Whisenhunt, Mike Mularkey, and Mike Vrabel. And we talked about this as well within the past couple of weeks. If given the choice, if I'm Brian Callahan and I'm given the choice, I'm not saying he's making the decision who the quarterback is. But if I'm Brian Callahan and someone said to me, here are your options. You can take a veteran quarterback who will help you win more games and therefore improve your win-loss record, which may in turn allow you to keep your job. Or you can have a rookie or young quarterback who you can prove to us that you can develop, because that was part of the reason the Titans hired Brian Callahan, and that did not work with Will Levis. So if given the choice between a veteran quarterback who could help me win, increase my record, improve my record, and a young rookie or Sam Darnold-type quarterback reclamation project, give you an opportunity to show that you can turn his career around or help develop him, I would go with the latter, because that would show more. But that's just me. But I mean, look, with the way that Brian Callahan, I mean, look, he wears a 3-14 record. That's his record as a head coach. Mm-hmm. So of course there are people who are doubting that he could develop a Cam Ward.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he got the job because his sort of, you know, niche was developing quarterbacks. He's seen You know, he's been around some really good ones. So hiring him was supposed to be a slam dunk. But we all know that's truly not the case. Even when you think it's going to be a slam dunk, there's still going to be a turnover. There's still going to be a missed shot even before you get to the slam dunk. Okay? But that doesn't mean you're never going to get to it. If they go out and they draft Cam Ward, see, here it's sort of a fine line, Adam, because it's like anything. Sometimes you stay too long, and sometimes you don't give them enough time. You know, where does Brian Callahan fall in this? Will you give him more than enough time, which if the quarterback doesn't develop, then people will say, well, you gave him too much time. You know, that's what Eberflus is. He dealt with. They end up firing Eberflus
in Chicago. Right? Yeah. Yes,
that's what he dealt with both of his quarterbacks. First, it was Justin Fields, and then it was Caleb Williams. And it was like, do we keep him another year? Or do we just fire him and move on? Well, they chose to fire him and move on. Why? Because they didn't want him with a second year with Caleb Williams in that program. So. In this situation, if you draft Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, for that matter, if you draft him, then I think that unless the head coach and his team shows that they are not capable of doing it with this particular guy, unless they show that right away, then I think you got to give him a chance to develop the quarterback as well as develop the team. Because the last thing you want to do is continue to put a young quarterback in a cycle of, you know, new head coach, new OC, new head coach, new OC. You don't want to do that to a young quarterback because even though the talent may be immense, you're still stunting his growth mentally because now I got to learn a new playbook. Well, I got to know what he wants me to do. Now I got to know what this guy wants me to do. You're never able to grow as a player when you have several different voices in your ear each and every year. You can't grow.
615-737-1025. We've got some calls and texts to get to. Hang tight, 615-737-1025. Tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for updates of the NCAA basketball tournament tomorrow and Friday, presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by thenewcumberland.com, Twin Peaks, and Bet365. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick will join us momentarily, but we've got a lot of phones to get to, 615-737-1025. Let's start with Tim on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Tim, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, I'm breaking news. This is a rumor that I know who the Titans are going to take. They're going to take Bobby Boucher, and they won't need but one player on defense. Then, well, I mean, think about it. It shocked the world.
I do love me some Waterboy. Thank you for the call, Tim.
All right, bye.
When I saw up there that Tim had a rumor about the Titans, I thought it was going to be juicy.
Oh man, okay, let's go.
Juicy as that orange that you're.
Yeah, that orange is good.
Chomping down on over there. It's a weird-looking orange.
It's this, what is it called, sumo orange? They are the best oranges ever. Man, they look like they are rotten or something on the outside because of the peeling.
They look like they've got a growth on them.
Yeah, but then once you tear it open, man, oh, it's so good.
Let's go to Wes on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Oh, no more Diet Coke, Adam. No more.
I know. I've since looked up what's in Diet Coke, although there are zero calories. I don't even want to know everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. So I've got a theory, and I've been screaming it at Jared for a week and a half, 2 weeks. He doesn't want to touch it. He thinks that I'm crazy, I'm sure. But I'm going to give y'all my theory now, and I'm going to let y'all talk about it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, would you say that there was not as many teams that were interested in Cam Ward as there is today?
I would think that's a fair assessment. Yeah. Derek, wouldn't you say as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I also think that the Titans are responsible for the S2 score from C.J. Stroud a couple of years ago. Right?
Okay.
Mm. So I think they were trying to get C.J. Stroud to fall. This is what I think's happening. I don't think they ever liked Shedeur. And I think Deion may have been an issue with that. I just don't think they were willing to do that whole thing, moving into a new stadium and it be the Deion show in Nashville. I just don't think that's what they wanted. But there was a lot of hype around Cam Ward. And I don't think the Titans were really interested, but they sold everybody. Now everybody in the entire world and galaxy thinks the Titans are taking Cam Ward. They have now just made him, you know, everybody wants Cam Ward now. And so I think the Titans have done this strategically. Think they're going to get this pick. Think they're going to trade back, let the Giants or whoever else take Cam Ward and Shador. Titans are going to stack a couple of picks, and they're going to go get Jackson Dart. Because in my opinion, Jackson Dart is the best quarterback prospect in this draft. I've been saying it for about 3 or 4 weeks now. And when this happens, I just want someone to give me a virtual high five from the station. That's all.
Okay, Wes. I've got you. If it happens,
I
will give you that high five. Thank you for the call, Wes. So what do you think about Wes's theory here?
Again, it's a conspiracy theory, and I love conspiracy theories. And, you know, we don't know. Listen, I wouldn't put it past the Titans, you know, if it ever came out, you know, via 30 for 30 and somebody asked a question and a person looked at you side-eye but didn't answer it. A non-answer is always an answer. And they did that, and they were like, just cut. You know, like, laugh and cut. That tells you that what he really want to say, he can't say. But if it came out and sort of hinted at the Titans were involved, I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't. You know, but I think in this case, I think it's a little bit different because there were more guys in that Shroud draft that were considered first round picks, if I'm not mistaken. So you're trying to, you know, maneuver yourself or put yourself in a position where you could potentially get the guy that you want. That draft, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, so forth and so on. So I can sort of buy the C.J. Stroud thing. I don't know if I can go that far with Cam Ward. I think if the Titans love Cam Ward and there is a consensus across the board, then I think they draft the number one. I don't think they move out of that spot. You know, because, listen, I will continue to say this. The Titans need hits, and they need them bad. It's just like that singer. They had some hits back in the day, but for whatever reason, for the last 5-6 years, they hadn't been able to put together a hit. And the longer it goes, the more and more irrelevant you become. So that person needs a hit, whether they need a breakup to get a hit or they need something, but they need a hit. That's the Tennessee Titans. The Titans need a hit desperately. And if you feel that Cam Ward is the guy that you can get a hit with, then you draft him. Point blank.
We bring in Willie Donick. We also bring in Donald on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Donald, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. I really love the show. I appreciate, you know, the opportunity to ask a question here. I like the topics that you all are covering. I haven't had the opportunity to really consistently listen to the show and was just wondering, what is the situation with Will Levis? Is he going to become a backup? Is he going to be traded? Or what is his status at this point?
Thank you for the call, Donald. So
it's crazy that you asked that.
So yes. Thank you for bringing that up. Also, hello, Willie.
Hey,
Willie's
Will.
Here.
Hello, guys.
So Willie is here. There was a, I guess you could call it a report,
yes,
from Josina Anderson last night, and I've made mention many times of Josina Anderson needs one of those programs that tightens up your speech a little bit.
She's a little too wordy.
Absolutely. Evening notes, colon, the off-season carousel continues to churn. I was just told these two quarterback names came up in recent preliminary trade inquiries or internal discussions, per a league source, Kirk Cousins and Will Levis. Atlanta has been getting calls. I heard talk of a third-round pick being potentially actionable. Who says actionable? The Titans would like to transition, What would the market be, though? Something to monitor. There are always curveballs. So that was Josina Anderson yesterday.
Who says churn?
Didn't I bring this up before, Willie, about
I feel like Frazier would
traded.
Use the word churn.
Yeah, you
I do
would.
Think you would.
Churn some butter here a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do that.
Absolutely.
Put on some colonial garb. Churn some butter.
Talking your 15th century accent.
Frazier looks like he would have fun being like at Colonial Williamsburg, like being one of the people at Colonial Williamsburg who wears the colonial garb and takes people on tours. That seems like your kind of thing, Frazier.
Yeah.
No, not really, but I'll do it for about 20 minutes and call it a day.
Nevertheless, Will Levis, that is a question, of course. And I heard Paul Kaharsky this morning on with Robbie and Rex Road, and they were talking about this. And Paul has said, you know, Paul has left the door open for Will Levis to be a part of this team. And if I'm remembering correctly, he said, look, if Will Levis is starting for the Titans next season, it's not because they believe in Will Levis. He's a stopgap, and he's a cheap stopgap, and someone that they know. And look, sometimes the devil you know is not as good as the devil you don't, although I think the saying is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there is a possibility of Will Levis. That's the worst-case scenario, but again, the question is, who would want Will Levis, and what would that return look like?
Well, the return would be nothing.
Future considerations?
It would have to be something.
Yeah. I mean, it's The Godfather Part 2, when Al Pacino, you know, he gets the runaround from the politician from Nevada, and he says, here is my offer, nothing. After the guy says, I need this, this, and this to give you the gambling license, he goes, here's my offer, nothing. I just don't think you're going to get anything for Will Levis in a trade. He is not tradable. But I'm open to Will Levis being on the team. I agree with Paul on that one. If it's a stopgap and he's super cheap, he's not taking up any cap space at all. So that's not a bad thing. Cousins is the one that is interesting to me. Because if you're sitting there going, we're going to take it all the way up to the last minute, we're going to evaluate Cam Ward and all of the quarterbacks, and we'll do our due diligence, we're open to picking a quarterback, but if we decide not to, we don't want to roll Will Levis out there as the opening day starter. That's just, it's not going to sell tickets. I don't think that's going to be a good, you just that's a tough sell. So Kirk Cousins would be a guy that could be a better stopgap, for lack of a better term, for 1 year. The problem is I'm not giving up a third-round pick for him. That's another thing. My offer would be basically nothing. But the problem is at the end of the day, you got to have somebody, right, other than Will Levis, I think, in the mix. And I don't think I'm counting Brandon Allen with that. Do you guys agree?
Yes, and we do
in
have
the scenario. If you're not let's just say you trade the pick. You get other picks, and you don't draft a quarterback. You got to have somebody other than Will Levis in the mix.
We do have the clip I was referencing from Paul Kaharsky this morning on Robbie and Rex Road.
I mean, on the off chance that the Titans do roll it back with Will Levis, it's not because they think, oh, Will Levis is the magical solution to our thing, or Will Levis has earned more time. It's because they've decided that they're not going to address quarterback this year. And, you know, maybe he gets better. Maybe we can refine him somewhat. Maybe he'll be, you know, hopefully he'll be more careful with the ball and more accurate and everything. But it's because they're going a stopgap route. It's not because they think he's their future. I mean, they hope he'd stumble into playing better,
yeah.
But it would be because they're drafting a quarterback in 2026 instead of 2025.
That was Paul Kaharsky this morning.
Any sense. Young guy, to the fact, well, to the saying, well, you know, is Will Levis, you know, tradable? Any young guy that has the potential, and the key word is potential, ceiling, that Will Levis has is tradable. Now, what you get for him may be a different story, but any guy that falls in that Will Levis's category, I've seen it year after year in the NFL, where you because of the potential talent that they can get out of you, they will trade a 6th-round pick for you, a 7th, and sometimes maybe even a 5th. So I think there still is, and we will know this closer and closer we get to the draft. I think there is still, he still will command something if you want it, if a team wanted him.
You think they'll get a draft pick for Will Levis?
Yes, I think they would get a draft pick for Will Levis. And Paul, I think Paul was right.
I don't think I would offer a bag of football.
I mean, but again,
for Will Levis.
Well, again, I've said this, and I believe this to be true, 100% true. It only takes one team. That's it. It doesn't take two, doesn't take three, doesn't take the whole league. It just takes one team. Now, whether that one team is stupid enough to make the decision, that's up to them. But Paul was right from this standpoint, and I'm sure he talked about a lot more, but I'm just commenting on a clip that we listened to. Will Levis is on his team. One reason, I think there's another reason too, but the reason that Paul explained, I think he is right. If Will Levis is on his team, it's because they didn't feel the need to draft, or they didn't want to address the quarterback position. So by default, he's on the roster. Here's another reason, and this is what I've consistently said about Will Levis, especially as the season ended and we're coming into the offseason, is that he's going to be a better quarterback. Now, what does that mean in the big scheme of things? I don't know. Does it mean he becomes a starter with the Titans? Probably not. But Will Levis will become a better quarterback. Just like I said, Malik Willis will become a better quarterback the next following year. He did. Now, did it parlay him, or did it end up him being a member of the Titans? No. But they got more than a bag of footballs for him when they traded
him to
Green Bay.
You're right. If they
get a
7th round for Malik Willis, then perhaps there's hope.
Exactly. So, yes, Paul's right. If he's on his team, it's because they didn't address it. But there could be a second reason, and that second reason is he showed enough that he beat out Brandon Allen, because this is a one-year deal with Brandon Allen. And if he don't pass the smell test, they can just get rid of him this year. They can get rid of him in 2 months if they wanted to and will not feel the repercussion from it. If Will Levis steps in here and he makes it to training camp and he shows in training camp that he's beating out Brandon Allen, he will be on this team.
615-737-1025. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. D-Mace Vingan and Donick is proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. So we had a caller, Donald, ask us about Will Levis. Matthew in Nashville texted in and said, "Preach, Derek, it only takes one team or one coach to think that they can fix Will Levis, so to speak. The Steelers got a 3rd and 2/7 for Kenny Pickett last year. I believe Kenny Pickett netted a 5th-round pick this time around. So who's to say that there isn't a team out there that thinks that they can be the ones to rehabilitate Will Levis?" One texter says, "If only we could get Will Levis's overall grade on Madden above 93, then we could probably trade him to the Jets."
Now, listen, that may end up being not the Madden, but, you know, I laugh about it, but the ratings on Madden typically matches, you know, your play on the field at that particular
moment. And
they're
fluid. They change weekly.
Yeah, they change weekly, so you can go up and down. But, listen, if Will Levis goes out there and either shows that he can push Brandon Allen for that spot or ultimately wins that spot, that could be more of a reason for the Titans to then turn around and trade him, especially if they've already drafted their quarterback, whichever quarterback they may draft. If Will Levis proves that he's gotten better, that could be a plus for the Tennessee Titans. Not necessarily to keep him, but to show, because that's what everybody wants to see. you know, has he improved as a quarterback? And you won't be able to tell that until we start seeing him on the football field and seeing him in live games. So if he shows that he's gotten better as a quarterback, like Malik Willis did in preseason, and I'm sure the Titans took note of that and they're taking note of that, they may not trade him until the preseason is complete. Because if he works out, if he does what he's supposed to do in preseason and he's shown that growth, then you can get more than just a seventh or sixth round pick for him, potentially.
Maybe. I always like to use like romantic comedy type situations.
Rom-coms.
I'm a sucker for those. Just like Derek is a sucker for Hallmark movies.
Exactly.
Which are also rom-coms. So exactly. We're in the same boat. Though I've never really been too big into Hallmark movies. Either way. There's always that situation where, you know, the protagonist of the movie, his or her love interest, you know, they've been hurt. You know, maybe they're on the wrong side of the tracks and they think to themselves, I can fix him. I can fix her. Right? And that's what somebody is looking at with Will Levis right now. Somebody is out there looking at Will Levis and they see this macho man with the mayonnaise cologne. And it just hasn't been a good time for Will Levis in the NFL. And they're thinking to themselves, I can fix him. It just takes one team.
Mm-hmm.
One team.
That's it.
And, you know, a lot of people have connected dots with the Dallas Cowboys because Cooper Rush left the Cowboys. I think he signed with the Ravens to be Lamar Jackson's backup. And I don't think they're retaining Trey Lance. So they have an opening for a backup quarterback. Will Levis in Dallas. Can you imagine that?
Perfect.
A big arm for a big organization.
Yes. Imagine how Will Levis would go over in Dallas. That's a funny image.
But this is what I think we assessed at the end of the season, is potentially he could be a decent backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a bad projection for him, right? And that's something, right? That's not he doesn't belong in the league. That's just he can't be your starting quarterback. That I believe we've seen enough. That would be my assessment. I'm not willing to see if the light will go on in the coming years for that. Although it doesn't mean it's impossible. But I see a guy that could be a serviceable to decent backup in the league. He's got tools. He could go in there, be hot on a certain day or two, and win you a game or two while your quarterback's out. And that's all you really want from a backup. If your season rides on your backup quarterback, your season is probably sunk.
Absolutely.
Unless your backup is Tom Brady.
Yes.
Right. There are those rare cases, right, where Tom Brady comes out of nowhere.
Or Nick Foles.
Steve Bono. Remember the 49ers? Well, Steve Young was the backup to Joe Montana for a while. And then they had Steve Bono.
Yes, I remember.
We were like,
Bono.
Wait a minute, Steve Bono? Yeah. He won a lot of games. But you know, there are exceptions. But most of the time, you're looking for a quarterback that can get you by for a couple weeks.
Tommy on our text line. Since this has been Conspiracy Theory Corner on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick today, Tommy has his own conspiracy. This is not really a conspiracy. This is more of a game plan. The conspiracy is what Scholl was talking about earlier, where, again, I thought he was saying that there is
By the way, I heard Scholl in the conspiracy, and that was intriguing radio. That was intriguing radio.
For those who missed it, and we're not picking on Scholl here, but for those who missed it, he suggested that the NFL Draft Analyst Industrial Complex has a handshake agreement with certain teams to keep Shedeur Sanders away from the Titans by pumping up Cam Ward's value. Which, hey, I am all for a good conspiracy theory. But Tommy, this is not a conspiracy. This is more of a plan. He says trade back to 3 for next year's first. Draft Abdul Carter at 3, trade back into the top 15 with the first you got along with next year's third, and draft Pierce, get your quarterback next year with your own first. I feel like that meme from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with Charlie Day in front of the bulletin board with all of the strings and stuff. That's how I feel trying to read this right now.
Well, I would sign up for that in a heartbeat. That's exactly what I think they should do, unless they are committed and in belief and lockstep that Cam Ward truly is worth the first pick in the draft. And as I've been saying, and I'll continue to make this distinction, there's a difference between being a first round draft pick as a quarterback and a first pick in the draft, in my opinion. And if you don't think he's worth the first pick, then trade down. You might get him at 3. You might get him at 15 or get a quarterback with that pick. But I don't know that the Giants, I haven't heard any sniffs at that. But what you got to hope is as the draft gets closer, maybe somebody ups what they have to this point offered for that first pick.
I'm not sure that you can, you know, move out of that pick and say, well, I'm going to set myself up for next year's draft. Next year's draft will bring its own, you know, problems or you know, its own sort of guys that are, you know, going to jump out of the box or guys that, you know, are predicted to go high. They're going to end up, you know, fizzling out and not go so high. So I don't think you can make, you know, today's decision based upon what you may get in next year's draft. Because, again, it goes back to if you feel Cam Ward is that guy, then draft him. If you don't feel that guy, if you don't feel he's that guy, then don't say, well, let's make all these moves because we'll get our guy next year. Well, you may not be in a position to get your guy next year, whatever guy you may think that guy is. So, again, if you believe Cam is the guy or Shador or Jackson Dart, then take him somewhere in the draft. But if you don't, then okay, you're gonna have to deal with possibly another mediocre to horrible season, and then it may put you in a position to get the number one pick. But then again, somebody else may be worse than you.
I'm thinking of now of that movie She's All That, which was a quintessential rom-com in the late 90s with Freddie yes. Prinze Jr. Yes. And Rachel Lee Cook.
I would give a thumbs up. I give that.
That was a good movie. I like that.
That's a good movie.
I like that one.
I just think of that movie. You know, she takes off the glasses and she's beautiful, and that's what's going to happen with Will Levis. They're going to remove the mayonnaise fragrance, and he's going to be a fabulous quarterback. Who knows? 6-1.
I thought you were going to go down the road of, I'll make you a bet. I can take any quarterback and make him a starter.
That
no
do.
Way you can. I'll take that bet.
Absolutely.
Here's Will Levis. Make him a starter.
That is a key element. Of the best rom-coms. 615-737-1025. There have been some proposed rule changes in the NFL, some interesting ones. We'll discuss them coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.